I'm April Cummings. A 20-year-old Georgetown resident has appeared in summary court charged as an idle and disorderly person following an indecent exposure report along the Seven Mile Beach corridor. Police say the charge stems from an incident on the 21st of January, where a man allegedly exposed himself to a woman walking on a public path near Seven Mile Beach north of Raleigh Key amid wider reports of inappropriate behavior in the area during January. During a summary court appearance, the court imposed an interim sexual harm order on the suspect with strict conditions ahead of his next appearance on the 24th of February. Investigations by Georgetown CID are still underway. If you have any information, contact 949-4222 or the RCIPS confidential tip line at 949-7777. If you'd like to make an anonymous tip through Crime Stoppers, you can do that online or through their mobile app. A jury could soon decide the fate of a Georgetown man accused of stabbing another during a dispute over just $5. Radio K-Man's Jevy Ebanks reports.
Kaneel Moses Ebanks is on trial for wounding with intent in connection with an incident last October. It is alleged that Mr. Ebanks stabbed a man over an outstanding debt of $5. The trial began on Wednesday before the head of the criminal division, the Honorable Justice Cheryl Richards, KC, and a jury of seven. The court heard that on the 14th of October last year, Mr. Ebanks loaned the complainant $5 after the man said he was strapped for cash and needed to pay for something at a local convenience store. Mr. Ebanks, who was unemployed at the time, loaned him the money on the promise that it would be repaid later that evening. When Mr. Ebanks went to collect the money, the complainant was not at home. He returned the next morning, the 15th of October, but the man again said he did not have the cash and would need to go and get some. Later that day, the complainant did have the money, but only high-value bills, a $25 bill and a $50 note, and told Mr. Ebanks he would walk to the store to get change. The complainant says that as they walked, he heard the sound of a knife opening before being stabbed. Mr. Ebanks accepts much of the Crown's case, including that he was carrying a knife and that he injured the complainant. However, he claims he acted in self-defense, saying the complainant also had a knife, though prosecutors say no knife was recovered from the complainant. Mr. Ebanks also accepts that using a knife in an altercation could have resulted in serious injury or even death for either men involved. Today, he took the stand to give his account. The trial has raised questions about the use of government funds. The jury heard that the complainant didn't even want to appear in court. Concerns were raised about the cost to the public purse, as court proceedings can cost thousands of dollars in support staff time and building operations. This comes at a time where there's increased public curiosity and concern about the inner workings of the DPP's office, coupled with the low value of the dispute. And reminiscent of a 1990s TV commercial, wait, there's more. The case has also taken up 3 days of court time before the highest-ranking criminal judge, as well as legal aid funding for the defendant's attorney, Keith Myers. Mr. Myers recently won a judicial review after being removed from the legal aid list, with the court ruling his removal was an overstep of the statutory limitations of the Director of Legal Aid. Despite the low dollar value at the center of the dispute, wounding with intent is a serious criminal offense that carries the possibility of a lengthy custodial sentence. But the question of whether the case should have even been brought to the docks still lingers. Closing speeches from both sides concluded this afternoon. Justice Richards began her submission shortly after, with legal directions and final guidance expected first thing tomorrow morning in the main court building. Jevy Ebanks, Radio K-Man News.
The Health Services Authority is about to be scrutinized, not just by auditors, but by the people who work and receive care there. Radio K-Man's Elizabeth Charles takes a deeper look.
Last week, we reported that Health Minister, the Honorable Catherine Ebanks Wilkes, commissioned a 10-week governance audit of the Health Services Authority by KPMG that began on the 12th of January. At the briefing, Ebanks Wilkes shared that the scope will not be limited to the board, but that the audit is designed to also listen to patients, staff, and watchdogs.
HSA staff and members of the public who use the HSA services and are either patients or caregivers to patients will also have this opportunity to provide their voices for much needed feedback on their experiences. The engagement of stakeholders will include a one-on-one interview as well as specific surveys for different target groups.
Ebanks Wilkes says the goal is to create an evidence-based plan that brings how the HSA is governed and operated in line with the country's health priorities, at a time when the system, in her words, is stretched beyond its capacity. She stressed the audit is not meant to punish individuals, but to explain why reports often go unimplemented and why some problems keep resurfacing from one government to the next.
This governance audit is the first phase of an intentional transformation. By establishing a clear baseline assessment, we then can move into phase two, targeted reforms based on evidence rather than assumptions. And phase three will involve implementation with measurable milestones and public progress reporting.
The minister has promised to release KPMG's findings and says the new HSA board appointed by the current administration will be expected to help turn that feedback into concrete changes at the country's main public hospital. Speaking with Radio Cayman this week, she doubled down.
This isn't just an exercise where we pay consultants, they give us a report, and then we take it, look at it, and put it down. We are going to take it and use it to finish our national health strategy, which is coming along very nicely, and I'm hoping that it'll be finished very soon, as well as to give the public a method to measure performance. For me, the minister.
For Radio Cayman News, I'm Elizabeth Charles.
Minister Ebanks-Wilkes stopped by Radio Cayman's For the Record on Monday to break down the changes. You can watch that full interview on our YouTube channel at Radio Cayman Choice. Cabinet releases its latest post-meeting summary, providing highlights of the January 28th meeting. Cabinet approved the new board members for the Health Services Authority, as we've reported, with Timothy Ridley appointed as director and chair, along with Buck Grizel, Peter Spratt, and Omari Corbin as directors. The Mental Health Commission also received new appointments, with Fiona McDougall named chair and Klein Glidden Jr. as deputy chair. Additionally, Cabinet reappointed members to the Labor Appeals Tribunal and the National Housing Development Trust Board. Cabinet also noted the Environmental Assessment Board's final report on the East-West Arterial Environmental Impact Assessment. MPs will consider a series of financial services bills targeting the digital sector. Radio Cayman's Carsley Fuller has more.
The three bills are the Virtual Asset Service Providers, Private Funds, and Mutual Funds Amendment Bills. Should they pass in Parliament, the Virtual Asset Service Providers Amendment Bill will define key terms like tokenized mutual and private funds. The private funds and mutual fund bills are interconnected, with proposed amendments aimed at clearly outlining the requirements for tokenized private and mutual funds, along with adding definitions for digital investment tokens and digital equity tokens. Now, a digital investment token signifies either fractional or complete ownership of a tangible asset like a stock or bond, real estate or artwork, documented on a blockchain. And a digital equity token is a blockchain-based token representing direct ownership in a company, asset, or investment fund, serving as a digital alternative to traditional shares. Reporting for Radio Cayman News, I'm Carsley Fuller.
And if you'd like to take a look, you can find the bills online at gov.ky/publications. New travel data is putting Cayman on the spring break boating map. A report from booking platform Boat Booker ranks West Bay as the number one boating town, not just in the Caribbean, but across the U.S. as well, with Georgetown also making the top 10. The company analyzed completed bookings during peak spring break weeks last year from March 10th through April 6th. Boat Booker credits Cayman's clear waters, vibrant marine life, and easy access to reef tours and private charters. The company says the data points to where spring break travelers are likely to book again this year. Sustainable Cayman is broadening its leadership and welcoming a young Caymanian to its executive committee.
I'm excited to strengthen intergenerational leadership and work alongside this incredible team to build a resilient future for our islands.
Deshae Lyons tells Radio Cayman her commitment to environmental protection is deeply personal, rooted in the, quote, urgent need to preserve Cayman's natural heritage amid growing environmental threats. Ms. Lyons has represented the Cayman Islands at three Conference of Parties UN conferences on climate change, served as an ambassador for the Planeteer Alliance, and been a One Planet Summer ambassador, mentoring youth and advancing community-led initiatives. She is currently pursuing a Master of Science in Environment, Politics, and Society at University College London. For more information, visit sustainablecayman.org. And the Cayman Islands is celebrating one of its own, reaching the top ranks of U.S. healthcare. Dr. Joelle Rose has been named Chief Medical Officer of UNC Health Wayne in North Carolina. Health Minister the Honorable Catherine Ebanks-Wilkes says this appointment demonstrates just how far Caymanian talent can go.
just like our forefathers who left our shores to build a future for their families, Dr. Rose is yet another example of how Caymanian values and work ethic can translate into global leadership.
Dr. Rose graduated from CCC school before studying in the U.S. In his new role, Dr. Rose will focus on medical quality, patient safety, and physician engagement. The Minister of Health says his success offers encouragement to young Caymanians pursuing careers in medicine. And that is your latest local news. I'm April Cummings.